Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the Old Testament book of Psalms, and we will be looking at Psalm 98 today. It's a psalm about how marvelous the Lord is, a psalm of praise. And the choir's musical, their anthem spoke perfectly to the understanding of this psalm. I'll also be touching on the book of Ephesians today, and that's the place where Steve and Sue will be sharing about their trip to Ephesus this week. If you would like to turn in your Bible in the Old Testament section, the book, the 98th chapter of Psalms, is found on page 529. Hear now these words. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your presence, for your spirit here today. We ask that you would speak to us, encourage us, help us, be with us as your people, that we might be responsive to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. My daughter Megan, who's in the front row, second seat, and her boyfriend Nicholas, first row, first seat, they moved out of the dorms this last week out of Grand Canyon University, and so they are back home for the summer. But let me just share one incident about moving out of the dorm. Megan, in wanting to find furniture for her room, selected at a secondhand store an armoire, a drawer. And being in a secondhand store, it was a piece of furniture made when furniture was made well, and the thing weighs a ton. It took Nicholas, Debbie, me, Nicholas's brother, Nicholas's dad, and a trailer to move this piece of furniture home. But what I want to share with you, she found this piece of furniture and then communicated to Debbie and I that she really should have got that one, and she was away, and so as a surprise, Debbie and I went back to the store and barely fit in our car, but we got it home. But this is what I want to share with you. When you go to a secondhand store, they call it an antique store. This is what I experienced. I saw some things there that my grandmother had. So I immediately, Megan, Nicholas, Hannah, come over here. My grandmother had this stuff. And then I would go on a little bit more and, hey, wait, come here. Mom and Dad had this stuff in their house. And we're looking at this stuff in the secondhand store. Keep in mind, they're thinking of it as an antique store. When I say, hey, Debbie, look, there's some dishes here that we had when we were first married. And then what finally happened was I came to an electric typewriter which was my electric typewriter in high school and college. And I said, hey, guys, look at this. It has a ribbon. They weren't listening to me. I was doing all this talking. But I said, look, it has a ribbon. And when you would type, ink would go from the ribbon on the paper. And if you made a mistake, you either took the paper out and threw it away, or you put some white out, and if it didn't look right, you had to throw the paper away. And then I shared that then they came up with ribbon that had erasable ink on it, and you could type over in white, and maybe it would cover, and maybe not. And then they came up with erasable paper that you could erase, and maybe that would look good, maybe not. And so often you would end up typing a page over again. They know nothing of what I was talking about. They are on their computers or their iPads, and they print everything out. They can fix things just by a touch of a button. They didn't have to go through all of that. But here's what happened. I was explaining about my electric typewriter, and they weren't really listening too well. And right next to it was a standard typewriter, the kind that you had to push really hard. You all know what I'm talking about. They don't. When I said, hey, look, here's a standard one. This is the kind I learned on. They looked at me like I was Thomas Edison. But for me, and you know this, you walk through a store like that, you see things there like Grandma had, it takes you back in time. And you remember being in Grandma's house, or even Mom and Dad and some of the stuff they had. You reflect on their stuff, and it takes you back to some really good memories of what those things represented for us. You know, the same thing is true of an old song. You listen to an old song back from when you were in high school, and it's as if that song have been played since then to now. Now, they don't know those pieces of music, but there are those songs that take you back to your junior year in high school or your senior year in high school, and you reconnect with those times through those songs. What I want to share with you, I read to you today from the Psalms in the Bible. These are old songs taken from the Psalter, which is kind of like a book of worship or a hymnal. The Psalms are 150 poems. Most of them were sung, and they represent for us now the songs that were on the hearts of the people, sort of like those oldies and what they do for us. These were the songs that they sang in church. These were the songs that they worshiped in their homes, and these were their songs, the songs of their faith. Now, so many of you know that there's something special about the book of Psalms. You can read a lot of many portions of the Bible, but for comfort, for feeling the presence of God, many of you go here. How many of you feel that way about the 23rd Psalm and other Psalms? And Robert Denton, who was an Old Testament scholar, said this about the Psalms. He said, in the Bible, there are many portions of the Bible where it's about where someone, a person, wrote about other people and their faith, and that became part of the Bible. Some of the Bible is where people wrote about how they believe God reaches out to us and loves us, and those are recorded. But Denton says this, the book of Psalms is a glimpse into the soul of people who sang those psalms, those who wrote those psalms. He called it reproducible religious experiences. He said you can read the psalms and be in touch with where people were spiritually, how they opened up themselves to God. The psalms, like perhaps not the other scriptures, these are the ones that help us connect to how other people worshiped, and we connect with them. Sort of like seeing grandma's plates in the store, or the old song that takes us back to what we remembered. These verses in the Bible do that. So I want to encourage you this summer to spend some time. Look up a psalm now and then and read it and see and understand that somebody was pouring out their soul to God. And there's something special that happens as we connect with their pouring out their story. We connect with our pouring out of our hearts to God. Hannah, where's my other daughter, Hannah? Where is she? In the back. Okay. She was an usher. That's why she's in the back. Hannah ran in a track meet yesterday, and Friday was the state track meet. And one thought I had while I was there is that these moments were very real. It was very exciting for us to watch Hannah and her teammates run relays, and they finished seventh in the state, which is remarkable for a little school that doesn't even have a track. They don't even have a track, and their track team did so remarkably well. But I was thinking, that experience was so real for us. At one point, I was saying to Debbie, as this one girl, Emily, was running, Debbie was yelling, "Go, Emily, go!" And I said, "You know, Debbie, I remember from when I ran track. When you're running, you can hear what people say, when people shout." And Debbie says, "Oh, so Emily's hearing me." I said, "Absolutely, she's hearing you." And that took me back to some of my own memories, and then to the stories of my father, who, like Hannah, ran the 100 meters, but in those days, it was the 100-yard dash. Hannah's real good at setting the blocks and starting out of the blocks. My dad did that, but they didn't have blocks. They had like a little garden tool, and they'd dig a hole in the dirt, and they'd put their feet in the hole and run out of it. So a part of me catapulted back to those stories that my dad told. Scripture does the same. Steve and Sue will be leading us in learning a little bit more about Ephesus. The book of Ephesians in the Bible, which was a letter to Ephesus, was a book that was so well received because it helped people deal with life. It dealt with life as Christians lived it in the past, sharing with others. And the book of Ephesus deals with the celebration of the church. The celebration of the church. Now, we sort of take for granted around here the unity of faith and spirit, and we take for granted the things that God does for us. I read about a church that the pastor got up and said, "We are going to institute the old traditional passing of the peace, where we stand and say the peace of God be with you and also with you," kind of the old tradition of the church. And he said, "So next Sunday we will do the passing of the peace." And after giving the announcement, the pastor was walking back to the pew. And in that moment of silence, somebody was confused, stood up and turned to somebody else and said, "May the peace of God be with you." The response he got back was, "Not today. We don't have to do that until next Sunday." They're going to lead us in passing the peace in a little bit. That is not the right answer. Or another church. I read about a couple of people who left. They weren't attending the church anymore, and the pastor contacted them, and they said, "Well, we're at a new church now. They have really great music." And the pastor said, oh, you left because you like the music there?" "Well, no, they have really great preaching." And the pastor, okay, you're going for the preaching. And they said, no, that's part of it, but it's basically this. They said, "But the best part of this new church is they don't have memberships there. So there's no pledging. You don't have to give. There's no women's society asking you to do work. There's no men's group. So if you don't want to do anything, you don't have to. There's no involvement, no bother, no crosses. End quote. Let me tell you about our church. Yesterday, we had the powwow, which is a food distribution program where people from our church distribute food. It helps people in the community. It helps get food out. And there we utilize high school kids that need to do community service hours. They help carry the food to cars for people. And they are supervised by someone from the probation department. That fellow pulled me aside yesterday and he said this: I do this every week at a different church or community building. You guys are the most organized of any of the other places. And we also had a conversation. I had a conversation with someone else about how we're not going to do powwow on the week we do the holiday craft fair. And I said, you know, that's because we need all these parking places. Because this church does a holiday craft fair very well. It's very organized. And then in talking to someone else, I said, you know, and something else, this church does a rummage sale. And we not only need all these parking spaces, we fill up the parking lot of the church across the street. I am grateful that we are a part of a church that when the book of Ephesians calls for there to be a unity of spirit, we have a unity of spirit. Called to celebrate the life of the church, I think we do that all the time here with how we praise God. And the remarkable part about this congregation is that all of you come from all over the place. And you come from experiences in different churches, in different parts of the country, and we come here and we enjoy each other. We learn about the churches back home, and we are together in a wonderful way. We bring those experiences here, and we benefit from that. Let me share with you one last quote, written by W. Stuart McCullough, who said, later generations, in talking about the book of Psalms, later generations can imitate the psalmist. They can stand, as it were, on their shoulders. They can think their thoughts after them and catch some of their faith and vision. They can, in short, be led by them into the secrets of the Most High. With this, McCullough was saying, we draw from the experiences of the past, like in the secondhand store or through that old song, we draw from the experience of the past when we read Psalms or Ephesians, and we see how people related with God. And like a grandma who taught us, or a Sunday school teacher who taught us, this is a book that connects us with people of faith of past generations and how they worshiped God, how they were open to God. Let us, as a people of faith, understand that our book takes us from the past to the present and calls us to live in faithfulness into the future. The Lord be with you. Amen. Amen.